Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Mastek Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Asha Gupta. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Neera. Good day to all of you. Welcome to the Q1 FY24 earnings call of Mastek. The results and presentation have already been mailed to you, and you can also view it on our website, www.mastek.com. To take us through the results today and answer your questions, we have the top management of Mastek represented by Hiral Chandrana, CEO, and Arun Agarwal, CFO. Hiral will start the call with the business update, followed by Arun providing financial update for the quarter. Post that, we'll open the floor for Q&A. As usual, I would like to remind you that anything that is said on this call that reflects any outlook for the future or which can be construed as forward-looking statements must be viewed in conjunction with the risks and uncertainties that we face. These risks and uncertainties are included but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with the SEBI and subsequent annual reports that you can find it on our website. Having said that, I will now hand over the call to Hiral Chandrana. Over to you, Hiral.
Thank you, Asha. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our Q1 results update. I'll start off with giving a brief overview of four different areas: our Q1 financials, what we are seeing in the market as a whole but also with our specific customers, the exciting acquisition that we've just announced today of BizAnalytica, and some commentary on Q2 and outlook for the remaining year. Our Q1 financials came in at 20.2% year-on-year growth from a revenue perspective at constant currency, and we delivered 17.5% operating EBITDA for the quarter. We had variation in different geographies and different parts of our business, but at an overall level, we saw some good uptick in our Middle East business as a result of the last couple of quarters of order book that we had closed and the revenue conversion of that. Our UK business had lesser number of working days, and because of the time and materials work we do out there, had an impact in Q1. And we had some good solid deal momentum and order book in our US business, which should reflect in much more robust quarter-on-quarter growth as we look forward into Q2. As we look at what's happening in the market as a whole, our customers and particularly our top customers are definitely prioritizing cost optimization and looking at different ways to generate efficiencies. Having said that, the journey that many of them have taken on the cloud migration and cloud modernization is starting to move into a different pivot where they'd like to monetize the investments that they have made in the platforms as well as optimize the consumption, whether it is hyperscalers or some of the SaaS platforms. We've seen some interesting engagement models in terms of not just cost optimization but also how do we fund some of the new solution creation and get more ROI for our customers that have already invested in the cloud journey. As we look at our own customers' customer satisfaction survey and results, we had some interesting insights as part of that. And one of the areas which we were happy to see is that customers want to see Mastek playing a much more strategic role in their next few years' journey. They also want to see Mastek contribute in multiple newer areas of customer experience, of data modernization, of cloud modernization. So it's a good sign where our existing customers want to see more of us. Of course, it's up to us now how we scale up and deliver to that promise. As we look at what's happening in the generative AI space, there is clearly a huge uptick just in the last 3 months since we last spoke, where customers are starting to pilot and have use cases very specific to their industry. Mastek has taken a very practical approach, I would say, where we are focused on few specific areas where we are contextualizing our capability to what the customer use cases and the industry specific use cases are. For example, for retail and consumer industries, we've taken our CX Pro solution and our NetTail.ai partnership. For manufacturing discrete industries, we've taken a look at how we can integrate our Voltio Edge investment platform with the Warehouse 360. And of course, you know, our key platforms and partnerships, Oracle, Salesforce, Microsoft, AWS, are all investing in generative AI, and we are seeing how we can embed that as part of our proposition as well. As we look at our Q1 customer wins and some of the updates that we've shared already in the earnings deck, there is a variety of diverse experiences that we've had based on wins in Europe, in UK, in Middle East, and in US. While, you know, we continue to have some pressure from the NHS account, we've seen some really good wins in the healthcare sector in US. For example, a Brookdale living senior living community where we won a large transformation program where we're looking at their entire supply chain, their entire patient experience. There is examples of wins we've had in the manufacturing sector in the non-UK Europe geography. We've also seen some marquee programs in government business of UK, where we're looking at single sign-on and one login ID for their entire identity access and management processes. So just a wide variety of wins and go lives. We have we had reported 6 months ago our progress on one of the Blue Cross Blue Shields, and I'm happy to share that specific account is on track and trajectory to become a 10 million account in the US. And this will be our second account where we see that this model of what we are bringing to the Blues can potentially be replicated to other Blue Cross Blue Shields as well. So that's just in a brief in terms of Q1 and market and what we're seeing with customers. Moving on to Biz Analytica. As we have communicated almost for the last 15 to 18 months, as part of our M&A thesis and target prospects for M&A, we had prioritized three specific areas: customer experience and digital experience, data and the continuum of data with AI, and cloud platforms, which is the hyperscalers. As you know, we have acquired MST last year, which aligns to one part of our thesis. The second part of our thesis was in the whole data modernization and data cloud journey. And we've been very selective in looking at multiple assets, doing our due diligence, and super excited and pleased to report that we've officially signed a definitive agreement to acquire Biz Analytica. Biz Analytica was founded a few years back, is headquartered in Boston area in the US with operations in Chennai, and provides a holistic view to the data cloud and modernization journey, where clients are looking at not just moving their data to the cloud, but also setting a strong foundation for how they can generate analytics and now generative AI use cases. So the acquisition is very strategic in many ways because it not just aligns with our strategic priorities and thesis, but also in terms of what customers are asking from us and what the market potential is in this space. We're also happy about the client base and the profile of customers that Biz Analytica has. They have some marquee enterprise clients in asset and wealth management, in retail and healthcare, in technology. And we feel that the synergies that we will start with the US geography and then expand to a global market. Culturally, we feel that there is also, high resonance in terms of both companies, and Biz Analytica also has a very solutions focused DNA. They have a significant investment in Lightbeam, which is a marquee IP that really takes a look at data factory and from a managed services perspective, how do we monitor consumption and cloud economics as more and more companies move to the cloud. So it's some exciting areas which we are hoping to collaborate and work to build on. But this is a huge milestone for us. It's an area that we are very excited about in terms of growth prospects. Our mining strategy, which is progressing well in the US and in UK and in Middle East, will benefit from this capability. And of course, more happy to share more during the Q&A and in the coming weeks as we make progress. Feedback that we received last time from all of you, our investors, our well-wishers, our analysts, was to share transparently what was the mix of the business and the size of the business. And the last 12 months of Biz Analytica was roughly about 16 million. And that's something that we obviously hope to grow significantly higher compared to even the Mastek growth average. The last point is about outlook and a little bit commentary about not just Q2, but even looking beyond. We're very happy with the US and America's order book. There's some deals that took longer to close over the last 3 to 6 months, but we've had a healthy back-to-back order booking and, you know, bullish about how that will translate to revenue. So there's a good uptick that we can expect in terms of revenue growth in the Americas geography. In the UK, we have some really large deals that continue to be part of our pipeline. Unfortunately, we had some very close losses and a couple of losses where we were number two with some very large players. And these are, you know, large deals and accounts where customers given us a seat at the table. A year back, we may not have even been able to compete. But being number two in some of those losses is not fun. So we are taking that up as a challenge, and we feel that there is potential to win some of those deals in the current quarter and the next. We've actually just got notified last week about one particular win, and hopefully we can do some more in the UK geography. Our margins, and Arun will talk about financials in more detail, but specifically, we want to focus more on DSO and ensure that we bring a little bit more discipline there. And there's various initiatives on cost optimization as well as margin improvement across the board, where we are taking very specific tracks and approaches so that we can optimize and then fund more strategic areas. As we look at account mining, and one of those strategic priorities that we had outlined in the last couple of calls, we've taken our top 10 to 15 accounts in each geography and making progress, not just in terms of account plans, but also in terms of how we are approaching senior stakeholders, building relationships, looking at the vendor landscape, looking at partnerships, looking at how we can look at spend areas and offer a much more holistic proposition. But we've also put in some new account managers and client partners in key accounts where we see growth potential. The Salesforce business and the Oracle business, which contributes significant part of our Mastek revenue, has continued potential, and we see that both in terms of accounts or customers moving to the cloud, but also in terms of how they want to monetize, like I mentioned earlier, some of the investments, not just in sales, marketing, customer service, but even in data analytics. Oracle has also branched out in a couple of new areas. I have spoken in the past about Oracle Health and their healthcare investments with Cerner, and we've made progress with the Cerner team and Oracle to look at more holistic propositions in select markets. So all in all, we have had a slow start in terms of our organic business, and see some good lead indicators where we feel still optimistic and confident about our prospects, not just in Q2, but for the rest of the year, in line with some of the communication that we had done earlier. The pipeline is looking good. Our deal momentum is strong. Some of the recent wins are giving us confidence as we look at not just Q2, but beyond. And again, hugely excited in welcoming the Biz Analytica team to the Mastek family. So with that, I'll turn it over to Arun.
Thanks, Hiral. A very warm welcome to everyone on the call. Financial details and other documents has been shared ahead of the call, so I'll keep focus on key financial metrics aligned to what Hiral alluded to from the business perspective. Our operating revenue for the quarter was 725 crores. It's 2.3% up quarter on quarter in INR terms, reflecting 0.4% in constant currency. Year-on-year growth is 27.2%, reflecting constant currency growth of 20.2% year-on-year. Once you break it up between geography, the growth is led by strong execution in Middle East. Again, in line with our previous quarter order booking, as we mentioned, we are seeing good pickup in terms of demand in that particular geography, and the same has been reflected in terms of revenue. UK quarter-on-quarter was impacted because lower number of working days. However, the deal momentum, as Hiral mentioned, is quite exciting, and we believe that geography will continue to grow in the coming quarters. During the quarter, we added 22 clients across verticals and across geographies. Order booking experience was mixed across the geography. While delay and right shifting decision-making continues, however, U.S. and Europe, when we say Europe, non-UK, Europe has shown positive momentum in order booking. Consequently, our 12 months of order backlog stands at $215 million, reflecting an increase of 16.9% year-on-year. However, a decline of 1.7% quarter-on-quarter in INR terms. Our operating EBITDA for the quarter was at 17.5%, a reduction of 20 bps quarter-on-quarter. The primary reason of 20 bps was because one part of our business, Salesforce, which we acquired last year, the increment has been done effective April, in line with, as we do the integration, we wanted to ensure the team gets the hike in line with what they were getting earlier. That has impacted margin for the quarter. However, partially offsetted by currency and other operating levers as operated during the quarter. Our PAT stood at 73.5 crores. Up 1.3% quarter on quarter. Our cash was 220 crores at the end of June. This versus 270 crores in March 23. During the quarter, we have paid one installment of loan as it was outstanding as per the payment schedule. Consequently, our borrowing stood at 363 crores as of 30th June 2023. Headcount was closed at 5,592 at the end of the quarter, reflecting net reduction of 30 headcount, and utilization improved during the quarter by 380 bps, including trainees, as we are operating and focusing upon better utilization of resources to drive the revenue growth and balancing the bench and in-project utilization of resources. We have signed definitive agreement to acquire Biz Analytica, a data cloud and modernization specialist based out of U.S., And again, as Hiral alluded to, it's in line with our strategy to get into data and cloud space together with the presence in the U.S. geography. And it further helps us to sell a lot of integrated offerings, both to existing and to the prospective customers. I would like to thank all of you for your continued support and trust. Going back to the moderator and open the house for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Anyone Who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The first question is from the line of Mohit Jain. So Manan Rathi, please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, two questions. One is on the US pickup. Now, order backlog is more or less flattish. So what kind of, and I'm assuming this includes US closures that you spoke about. So what kind of growth rate are you looking at in the US region for 2Q or maybe FY24?
So Mohit, the Q1 order book in US actually was better than our targets and expectations in terms of ratio of revenue. It was almost 1.5 times the revenue that we have in that geography, and that's giving us confidence that as we execute on those programs and wins, which did take a little bit longer than we expected, but now since we've closed some of those deals in Q1, it will have a direct impact in Q2, Q3 and beyond in terms of revenue conversion. So we you know, obviously had anticipated slightly higher growth in revenue terms in US, but what we are confident is that we'll catch up or mostly catch up in Q2 and get back on track in Q3 in terms of our anticipated year-on-year growth rate. So feeling confident right now based on end of Q4 order book and Q1 order book, that the pure organic momentum as well as our integrated business with Salesforce is on the right track. And this, of course, does not include any of the Biz Analytica business. I'm talking about our existing Mastic business.
Right, and this also means, are we expecting slightly slower UK because your total backlog number is still similar, and if US is growing fast, should we expect UK to remain slow for some time?
So we will still show growth in UK and Europe as we go into not just this quarter but beyond as well. In percentage terms, in terms of quarter on quarter and year on year, our overall design and model for the year is UK and Europe will be slightly slower in terms of percentage terms. But we're working with some very marquee programs, some new initiatives and areas on digital identity, kind of equivalent of sort of Aadhaar card in India. Some large programs in the defense, in the hydrographic space, looking at new avenues in some of the public sector. So yeah, I mean, I think we're still sort of in some very critical programs, but just in percentage terms, comparatively, it'll be slightly slow.
Right. And last is for Arun, sir. Now, what will be the margin impact for FY24? Like you spoke about, partly it is done. I assume the wage hike part is partly done and partly pending. So how should we see it for FY24?
So Mohit, in terms of the operating EBITDA, the increments definitely as we are planning to look into in quarter two for the rest of the organization. How we are seeing there could be immediate impact. Again, there are operating levers which we are working on back of it to neutralize the impact of rate hike, the increments. And we believe if any impact happens, that's more transitory in the quarter where the hike is happening. Come quarter three, quarter four, we'll come back to the range where we are operating, which we have always said 17% to 19% we feel very comfortable about.
And this includes acquisition impact as well. I'm assuming BetaSoft, you said BetaSoft increments are already done. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I said. It is done effective April, so that portion of impact is already in the P&L. Yeah, that's already in the P&L. Yeah.
Perfect, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Ravi Mehul from Macquarie Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Here, just a question on the healthcare and life sciences. You were talking about how you won the BCBS contract and that's been ramping up well. So surprised to see the healthcare and life sciences has declined. I think you mentioned that NHS had some challenges. So is it from that, and when would you expect NHS to bottom out?
No, good point. I think Ravi, I wish I could have said confidently that NHS has bottomed out, but the reality is that we continue to see some uncertainty and challenges out there. We were expecting certain programs that could potentially ramp up sometime during the fiscal year. The couple of the closed deal losses that I mentioned was, one of them was actually in NHS. But having said that, there are three new wins that we've had in the healthcare space in America. Some of them are just like recent wins, so obviously it's not reflecting in the revenue. You should start seeing that in Q2 and beyond. And even in Middle East, we've won a couple of deals in the provider and healthcare space. So all in all, that sector is still a bullish sector for us. The only challenge is some of that has been offset by NHS. But I think sometime during the course of the year, we will see a bottom and start picking up even at NHS. What we're doing out there is working with significant number of arm's length body and multiple other divisions and units, including social care and the ICSs, which are not part of the core NSS, but are still getting significant funding. And the election in UK, which will come up in the next 12 to 14 months, is primarily being fought on healthcare and some amount of economy. But all the market intelligence, the customer intelligence we have, is that there is still spend out there, and we're sort of making sure that we're still working very closely with some of our supporters and stakeholders so that we can capitalize on the investments we've made in the past and start growing back out there again. But you're right, the NHS is really what has challenged us in terms of healthcare, but our healthcare momentum in US and Middle East is strong.
Great, thanks. And a follow-up, I was a bit confused by your comment that fewer working days in the UK. I mean, I thought that seasonally, after the Jan to March quarter with a few working days in Feb, this is a seasonally better quarter. So could you just explain that?
Yeah, so typically this is what happens since we have UK exposure. Since we have UK exposure, what is happening, a lot of T&M engagement which we have gets impacted because of Eastern and other holidays which comes in quarter one. So again, it's not globally, holiday pattern is more very specific to the UK market.
Great, thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Sarishin Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir, and thank you so much for taking my question. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hi. So I think we had kind of a flat revenue. So I just wanted to expect what kind of revenue growth do we expect for the full year? And because of maybe our increments, so overall our margin range will be in 17 to 19%, right? So that was my question.
Yeah, so Arun, why don't you address the margin and I'll come back to the revenue.
Yeah, to the point, as I mentioned to Mohit, in the quarter of increment, we might see some blips, but coming quarter three, quarter four, we'll come back to 17 to 19% range. And that's the plan for the full year as well.
So, and
Darshan, this is Hiral. I just wanted to address the first question. The revenue growth and both quarter and quarter year on year growth that we see from Q2 and for the rest of the year is strong. Like I said, we want to be aiming for industry leading and bettering that. I know that there is a kind of muted forecast at the industry level. There are companies that have shown degrowth. There are companies who are forecasting lower numbers. But we feel that we're well positioned given some amount of uniqueness and some amount of focused activities in specific markets. As an example, our financial services exposure is minimal, as you know. And we believe that while that could benefit in certain different times, but in the current times, that limits, some of the downside. Whereas, as an example, in manufacturing and some of the related industries, we've had some really interesting wins. And these are not just wins where we are implementing, Oracle Cloud or Salesforce Service Cloud. We're talking about strategically working with clients on their supply chain transformation, on their how they're looking at connected enterprises with IoT and connected devices. So it's a combination of business process transformations as well as technology enabled strategic market driven growth that we are seeing with some of the manufacturing industry. So we're operating in some of these industries like healthcare in the US, manufacturing, UK public sector. We've seen a pickup in some Europe, non-UK Europe deal momentum as well. So we're still optimistic, like I mentioned, in terms of year-on-year growth and quarter-on-quarter growth for Q2 and beyond.
Okay, so just if I may, maybe it's not an exact number, but then we could maybe maintain the growth that we've been doing in the past last couple of years, maybe like not an exact number, because this time industry is very volatile, so it's a bit difficult to, get the flavor of what it is. So maybe like what we maintained, what we've done in the last 2 years, that could be a benchmark that we have, maybe.
Yeah, so Darshan, we shared some of the perspective last time. I mean, while industry might go through some amount of muted view here in the short term, our endeavor and our confidence is that we will be better than industry growth, and we will beat that by a few percentage points. So that we still maintain, and we still have the deal momentum and customer demand visibility to do that.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. That helps me. And all the best for the future quarters. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from Nano Saul Salwan from Sarasar Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted some more details on the Biz Analytica acquisition. So some financial details like what is their revenue run rate, annual run rate, and what is their margin profile, and what is the consideration that we are paying them. And also about Vince, what was the thesis behind acquiring Biz Analytica? Was it for some clients? Was it for a geographical expansion? Or was it for a capability expansion?
Sure. So, Saurabh, there's two, three different questions there. So let me try to break that up. I mean, this is a good opportunity to maybe welcome Biz Analytica team, because our teams have been working with them last few months as we were doing due diligence and detailed discussions. In fact, we've started working, with our mutual NDAs in one account, or actually two accounts. But just a tremendous job done by Arun, who's here with me, CFO, Raman, our Chief Growth Officer, Vimal, our legal, and the entire their teams all together to really collaborate with the Biz Analytica team to strategically drive this process. And we are where we are. So that's point number one. Second point is in terms of pieces, in terms of just the rationale, there are multiple elements. If you look at what's happening in the data cloud space, what happened in the infrastructure space and what happened in the application space in the last 15, 20 years is really what's happening in the data space. And more and more customers, instead of operating in siloed pieces, if you look 10, 15 years back when analytics became a big theme, one of the challenges customers had is just getting their data into the cloud and data in one place and the quality of data, etc. And so things have evolved. Companies like Snowflake, companies like Databricks, and even some of the large platform players like AWS have invested significantly in the data space, because they believe that's a foundational capability that will be required, not just for analytics, but like I said, to generate more use cases in the Gen AI space. So this acquisition is definitely, one part of it is definitely about capability and giving us extremely differentiated assets in not just modernizing, the data landscape and estate, but also accelerating the enterprise journey to the cloud, of their data assets. But also, given the presence that BizAnalytica has in the U.S., in the eastern part of U.S., with some very strategic clients, in the health sector, in the asset management and wealth management sector, and in some retail accounts. And these are Fortune 1000, in some cases Fortune 500, in a couple of cases Fortune 100 accounts, which we will get additional access to. So it's in line with our enterprise, focus, account mining focus, where we take a broader Mastek proposition. So now if you tie everything together, we have a heritage in digital engineering. We have a strong capability in Oracle Cloud at the enterprise level with ERP, HCM, supply chain. We now have the CX portion with Salesforce in the customer front office. And now with the data and the elements of integration, there is a whole story that we can stitch together, where we can start competing in much larger investment areas. So it complements our capabilities, it complements our US focus and geography focus with account mining, and it also sets a strong foundation for us to tap into a very high potential area on AI automation analytics in the future.
Okay.
And I shared, I think, earlier that the last 12 months, run rate, the last 12 months is 16 million. So we believe it's accretive to our revenue multiple for Mastek. So in terms of just kind of overall valuation, we're very pleased. It's an attractive acquisition for us from that perspective as well. With strong demand in the space and high potential when we look at the combined synergies of our business.
Sure. And also, Bob, I just wanted to understand about BizAnalytica a little more. So can you give us an example of one of the case studies, one of their projects that they have done? Is it more on the data engineering side, or is it more into the analytics?
Yeah, so I would say it's a combination, but the heavier focus is on the data engineering, the data modernization, and moving data to the cloud, right? So typically what customers go through is they look at a strategy of how they want to move some of their data across their value chain, multiple business processes, multiple divisions into one centralized, it could be a Snowflake or it could be a Databricks, and then start looking at how they can leverage that data to automate certain business processes, to get more solutions and use cases developed, how they can serve their customers better, meaning our customers' customers better. So the value of driving informed decisions and insights for our enterprises is huge. And in the past, that's always been the endeavor. But now with large data sets and with large language models, the processing speed and time is reduced significantly. So for one of their customers, Optum, which is part of UnitedHealth, they're doing this type of work where they're using and moving data to the cloud and making sure that they can set up Optum for their modernization journey. But there are other examples in the retail space where they're also doing some data science and analytics work for a couple of customers in the Northeast. Wealth management and capital market space. There is some combination of data engineering and data science. So it's a little bit of a mix of the varied elements. And it also depends in some cases where customers are in the journey and where do we take them from point A to point B. So hopefully that provides some flavor, Saurabh.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dipesh Mehta from Emkay Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Couple of questions. First of all, just want to understand margin profile of the acquired entity. If you can give some sense about what is the margin profile and whether any non-linearity in that business with revenue scale, if you see any scope for margin expansion. Thanks.
So Arun, why don't you answer the first, the margin, and I can add on the other expense.
So Dipesh, they have, if you see the growth profile they have gone through, they have invested significantly with the size of the organization they are in, which led to them operating at a single digit of operating EBITDA. But as we see them together with Mastek, we see them operating at early teens. How their earnout has been structured is they make money if they deliver amount of growth, which we have, you know, kind of put as their target, and they deliver Mastek level profitability. So we have done both the combination on as we combine with Mastek, they start delivering, you know, in double digit, and as they progress and grow the business, they start operating at the Mastek level.
And, you know, there's a couple of interesting things about non-linearity, and I'm glad you brought that up, Dipesh, because non-linearity has been a theme for us over the last 6 to 9 months. We communicated in the last quarter a couple of wins that we had in the Warehouse 360 space. As an example, we have another solution in the enterprise workforce scheduler space. But this is a great example where they have a solution and an IP, particularly in the context of managed services. And this is a slightly different, you know, dimension of managed services compared to your typical traditional on-premise managed services. So this is data-specific managed services, which is also monetizing, you know, that data. So there is some non-linearity potentially we see there. There is also opportunity for value creation, like Arun mentioned, where, you know, expanding the offshore presence. They do have a Chennai operations, but there's more room to move work and to deliver work from offshore as we scale that business. And as we look at the combined business together, we see more opportunities to do joint bids and solutions, not just in data projects, but in managed services as well, you know, for our existing accounts. The same applies to selling Mastek services to Biz Analytica accounts as well. So yeah, we see, you know, multiple avenues for non-linearity as well as value creation.
Understand. And two more questions. First is about what could be the client concentration in the business of the acquired entity? And second thing is about the what would be the amortization charges you expect on Mastek P&L? So what kind of hit you expect because of the transaction? Thanks.
So Arun, why don't you take the second one and then I'll do the first.
Yeah, so from the amortization perspective, again, this is the acquisition which is done. We have to go through all the valuation, which is again done by the registered valuer team and all. Again, typically you would have seen any PPA and all, it comes to 2-3% of the, you know, acquisition price. So again, let's perform. We have to go through all this cycle, and we'll be able to give much more detail once we report September numbers, because a lot of TNCs has to be done, transition has to be closed, then the valuation will happen, and we get to know exactly, you know, how the valuation will work for their customer relationship, customer contracts, and et cetera. So allow me 90 days to come back with better visibility into that amortization number.
And Dipesh, just to answer your first point, you know, the client concentration, like I said, it's a company that has a rhythm of much more deeper engagement and account mining compared to just opening new logos and hunting, right? So that's point number one. Second point is, once they have an interesting approach of base camp, where once they land into a particular account, they've had tremendous success in scaling to multiple areas within that account. So the quality of accounts and relationships and the concentration is not a huge number of accounts, but they do have you know, reasonable spread in terms of financial services, healthcare, technology, and retail. Those are the four industries primarily, with you know, a couple of accounts in each of them which are very strong, and then, you know, a decent pipeline of a few more accounts in each of those industries. They also have some solutions that are built for asset and wealth management, and developing another one for the healthcare sector as well.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Amit Chandra from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, and thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on the, you know, on the UK government business.
Sir, sorry to interrupt, your voice is coming muffled. Can I request you to speak through the handset?
Like, is it okay now?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, my first question is on the, you know, on the government business. So, you know, we have seen acceleration in terms of the government spends by the UK in the last two quarters, but that is not being reflected in terms of our order book. So is it, and as you mentioned that we had some losses, so is it, you know, we have lost some of the contracts, or is it our like win rate is coming down there, or we are seeing increased competition in the UK government space? So how do you see it? And also, if you can comment on the UK private business, which is more financial services retail there in the UK. So after initial uptick in the last quarter, we are seeing some softness there. So because we have said that we have invested there in that part of the business. So what is the update there?
Yeah. So couple of points, right, Amit. One is the UK public sector delivered some reasonable growth in the last quarter, and which is reflected obviously in our Q4 results, where we had a very handsome growth quarter on quarter and year on year as well. Like we said earlier, the number of working days in UK, which is very specific to the UK for this quarter in Q1, did impact revenue. Having said that, the couple of losses that I was talking about where we were a close second were not in our existing accounts and not in our existing business that we are running. These were in net new opportunities that we were pursuing. And so that's the second part. The third is that, again, if you look at legal immigration, digital identity, police protection, looking at, strategic areas of spend, even including, down the road on the health side, we believe we're in the right areas. But, yes, absolutely, the competition has gotten much more aggressive, and we'll definitely, and this is not necessarily a UK public sector specific comment, but there's definitely going to be much more aggressive, pricing pressure on some of the deals, particularly the cost optimization type of deals. We've taken some lessons, out of this. Our pipeline in that geography is still very strong. So we feel still quite confident. Like I said, we had a win, actually reasonable win, about an 8 million win, GBP terms last week, which is quite significant in the UK public sector. So we think that the pipeline and the deal momentum is there. It's a matter of converting a couple of them and continuing to deliver. Our credibility with clients out there is very strong, and we feel that we can tap into the spend that you were referring to, in the coming quarters. So that's as far as the UK public sector. The private sector, we've taken a slightly, we tweaked our approach a little bit in the last one or two quarters. As we were seeing in our own existing accounts, a couple of financial services, a couple of retail accounts, there were new CIOs, there were new relationships that we had to build. And so we're sort of taking a more mining approach even in the private sector, so that we can scale some of our existing accounts and take those case studies to open up new logos, right? We were focused a little bit on the hunting side with mixed results, to be frank, but we're getting a lot more traction and success. Just even the last 2-3 months, I was in UK last month, meeting a couple of new CIOs in the private sector, same with the public sector. And the trust that they have in us and some of our delivery, in some cases we've been there, 8 years, 10 years, 20 years, is strong. So it's up to us now how we leverage as they go through their transformation journey, including cost savings and how to fund transformation. We're up there with them working together. So in the short term, we believe it's a little bit more of a mining story in the UK private sector, and then we plan to take that to open up new logos, tapping into the fintech and financial services potential that exist in the geography.
Okay. And sir, on the US business, you mentioned that we'll see good growth in the second half. But if you can comment on how has MST been performing as of now, because you mentioned some of the order wins that we had in the US, it was led by MST. And also, if you can quantify what was the impact on like margins from the wage hike that we did for MST, and also in terms of Oracle CX business that was under stress. So what is the update on that? Is the stress over or are we still seeing some drag there?
Yeah, so there are three questions on that, Amit. Let me quickly answer the first and the third, and then I'll give it to Arun on the second. So Oracle Commerce and CX specifically, that third point, we commented on this last couple of quarters as well. Oracle has deprioritized that space 6-9 months back, and so obviously we had an impact, over the last 9 months, because of that. But the team has done a fantastic job in neutralizing some of that, moving that business to managed services, looking at Salesforce Commerce, looking at Magento, looking at Mac Alliances, headless commerce in different areas. So we're still in that space, but it is not about Oracle Commerce anymore, right? Because Oracle themselves are deprioritizing that. But we don't sort of expect any impact because of that anymore, right? Because where the implementations are going on, that is either done or moved to managed services, and we're not expecting any significant new wins. Although we did have one win, in the recent times, so it's not like customers have completely shut down, but significantly lowered compared to the past. As far as Salesforce and looking at some of the broader business. Actually, if you look at some of our win announcements, the good news is that we've seen order book and growth across all the three different areas, Salesforce, Oracle Cloud, and Digital Engineering in the Americas. And so that kind of well-rounded, for example, we replaced one of the top three Indian-based SIs in one of the West Coast accounts. In a very strategic data warehousing and BI deal. And, we're running a few workshops out there. This is a retail customer, which has been an existing customer for ours in the last couple of years, where we see a potential large deal in the making. The Salesforce business has delivered good order book. They had muted revenue in Q1, but we expect that to pick up in Q2 and, have a good full year FY24, our Oracle business in Americas had some delays in terms of wins and the project, but macro level discretionary spend and even though there's some slowdown there from a customer perspective, we are still seeing new projects and new implementations where there's a transformation involved and there's a model where we're able to save the customer money and the total cost of ownership level and still able to transform their business processes are getting funded. It's taking longer, but the couple of wins that we had in the Oracle Cloud space, which we've included in the deck, have been, 5 million type of wins. So from that perspective, it was a well-rounded kind of order book quarter. Of course, we have to execute and continue to ramp up and maintain that momentum going forward. Arun, if you want to take the second one.
Very quickly, Amit, again, it's a combination, but broadly it was in the range of 0.5-0.6% impact to the overall EBITDA of the company.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Hussain. From Ambit Asset Management, please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. So my question is more on the inorganic side. So I wanted to understand what would be our near-term strategy or plan in this area, because over the last 1 year, we've made two good acquisitions in terms of MST and now Business Analytica. So would we first focus on consolidating these before venturing into further M&A? And a continuation to that, would you say that we are more or less, we do have the capabilities now to reach the target which we set for ourselves over for the later half of the decade. Wanted to get a sense on that.
Yeah, so it's a two-pronged answer, Hussain. There is definitely in line with our thesis, in line with our strategic priorities, which then aligns with our M&A thesis. We had talked about CX, we talked about data. And so yes, you're right, those two acquisitions we've made. Our approach has always been, you know, sort of $10 million-$30 million type of companies, right? So we are looking at some very specific segments, you know, in the U.S. market, and we don't plan, you know, any other near-term acquisitions. We believe that we have rounded off the capabilities that is required in the immediate future. Having said that, our 3-4 year type of model definitely had, you know, total of 4 or 5 acquisitions, which we would continue to pursue, you know, over that time frame. You know, we're not going to rush into it. We're going to do our due diligence. And as we see opportunities, and it could go beyond the U.S., it might be in U.K. as well, we will, you know, make some of those strategic bets. But as it stands right now, we feel comfortable this fiscal year in terms of where we are with the M&A strategy.
Got it. Got it. Thank you. And one last question was with regards to our cash position. I think 220 crores and approximately 130, 140 crores will go in this acquisition. So that will leave us on a thin gross cash balance. So how are you looking at that as the year progresses? Thank you.
Hussain, this is Arun. So from the cash perspective, as being an IT service company, we believe the cash generation quarter by quarter is continued to be healthy. The gross cash of 220 crores is good sufficient, plus, as I mentioned, the cash generation quarter by quarter will keep adding on it. We believe it is sufficient to manage the working capital requirement and also to take care of the loan repayment. So we feel quite comfortable with the situation of the cash as we speak.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Jay Jain from Finnovate Financial Service. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. I hope I'm audible. So my question is related to the Middle East geography. The Middle East revenue has grown 34% sequentially and 67% year on year. So what is the reason for this growth and what could be the growth trajectory going forward in this geography? Thank you.
So Jay, I think made this comment and provided some guidance last two calls as well. When we had you know, looked at Europe as a market in the first half of FY23, which is last fiscal year, we saw you know, with the Ukraine situation and the war, a clear slowdown. And at the same time, because of Russia and other aspects, we saw a lot of funding going into, you know, both UAE and, you know, Middle East, you know, as a whole with Riyadh and Saudi. And we had strategically moved some of our focus and investments from Europe, I'm talking about the non-UK Europe, into the Middle East and Australia geography because we were seeing demand in there, right? So it was a strategic decision. You know, we realized that there are margin challenges and you know, tough customer environment, but we are seeing some really good demand. now, having said that, it is not a geography that we're necessarily banking on in terms of year-on-year growth, in terms of volume for the foreseeable, you know, 3 years, 4 years time frame if you look at the horizon. But we believe that it provides us a good, healthy diversification. And last two quarters, we had actually reduced our number of accounts, you know, in the previous two quarters and, you know, strategically looked at even account mining, even in the Middle East. So you know, the net is that when you look at it full year level, the growth trajectory in the Middle East will, and when I say Middle East, I'm including parts of APAC and Australia as well, which we call the AMEA region. We see that growing at a faster than Mastek average, you know, along the lines of, you know, kind of US business as a whole for the full year basis. But it probably will have some blips in terms of quarter and quarter because there's a little bit of a unique rhythm out there. And you know, we sort of have anticipated that in terms of balancing that during the various quarters in the year. But it's an important and a significant part of our business. And we plan to improve margins in that business, you know, so that we can have better quality accounts and growth even in that geography as we look forward.
Jain, do you have any follow-up question?
No. Sorry. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Sudeep Duggar, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I have one question regarding the US business. Now with the deals coming on board and we seeing revenue coming on in the books from the next quarter onwards, so how should we see the margins in the US business?
Go ahead, sir. Yeah. So Sudeep, as you said, as the growth comes, the investment which has gone into the geography, any growth will help us keep improving margin quarter by quarter because the scale will give us the advantages we are looking for.
And just maybe to add this as well, Sudeep, the nature of the deals and the nature of the accounts, even in US, we are being a little bit more selective in terms of quality of accounts as well. Like we had a long tail of accounts, even in the US, there were accounts with just 200K, 500K type of revenue with no potential to go beyond 1 million. And where we have projects which are ending and we don't see those customers as strategic with medium or long-term potential, we're not necessarily dragging or continuing there. We're actually sort of repurposing some of that focus into higher, spend areas, larger accounts, larger deals. Our account mining strategy out there has shown good lead indicators in terms of order booking. So that will reflect in our, growth out there. But I think as we deliver on a stronger revenue plan, like Arun said, the margins will improve in that geography as well.
Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you very much. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
All right. So the questions and the interaction is always enjoyable, and we kind of learn from it as well. The quality of the questions and the insights and some of the discussions are useful to us as well. So appreciate the trust, the interest, and the support for Mastek. We're on a journey where the market is volatile, the times are still uncertain, but like I mentioned, the strategy and the investments that we had made in the last few quarters is in the right direction, and we're very confident that it is paying off in terms of how we want to win in the right spaces, in the right areas, with the right quality business. And while there are some mixed kind of performances based on the geography and based on the quarterly rhythm, as a whole, we are very optimistic about the prospects and the customer feedback in terms of where they want us to operate in some very strategic areas. So there's an opportunity for us to scale up, particularly in some of our largest existing accounts. Having said that, there's definitely a tighter, budget cycles that customers are going through, multiple levels of approval. Competition is aggressive, but we have the right team in place. We have the right coverage now compared to what we had about a year or so back. And as we look forward, the completeness of our portfolio, the stronger relationships in the UK public sector, the critical programs in the government that we operate in, plus the momentum in both Americas and Middle East is giving us confidence of being able to deliver stronger and industry leading growth. So, you know, with that, we again are super excited about the data cloud space and Biz Analytica as a company and as a combined business now with Mastek family offers another dimension for you know, potentially growing in areas beyond where we were present in some cases. And as companies look at this 3 to 5 year horizon of where the spend is going to go in particularly the data space, I think the prospects are very encouraging. So once again, thanks for all the participation and questions. And we appreciate, you know, all the trust of all the analysts, investors in Mastek. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Mastek Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.